Welcome to the Josh Scanlon Podcast. This episode first appeared as a video on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/heritagewealthplanning. I hope you find it informative. Thanks. If you are interested in the thrift savings plan investment options, you've come to the right place. We're going to start a new series on the TSP, the thrift savings plan, and the investment options that are available to TSP enrollees. That could be military, it could be federal government, could be retirees. I think you'll find this pretty informative. Not a lot out there on the web, YouTube in particular. There's a couple guys, and some of them I like a little bit. Some I think have leave something to be desired. But generally speaking, I think we could add some info to help you decide what TSP funds to invest in. So today we're going to welcome to the Heritage Wealth Planning YouTube channel. First of all, my friends, appreciate you coming here. If you like what you see here, then click on that little button right down there, that little red button that says tiny, says click here to subscribe. And once you subscribe, make sure you click on the bell to be notified of our future content, because we do a video a day here at Heritage Wealth Planning. And we like for we're going to talk about everything. I mean, my goodness, estate planning, investment planning, retirement planning. I just produced a new book, which I'm going to share with you here at the end of this episode as well. And if you want a free copy, I'll share with you how to get that. It's on the tax bomb in your retirement plans is what it's called. And I tell you, it took a while to write that because there was just a lot going on in retirement planning. But anyway, let's get back to the TSP. So let's see what we got here. The first thing I want to share with you, a thrift savings plan, again, is for the military. It's for all federal employees. I don't think state employees have access to the TSP. They don't. They usually have their own, like in Georgia, their TRS, I think is what it's called, for at least teachers. But anyway, if you're federal, CDC, DOD, you know, all that stuff, all the various litany of acronyms that for the federal government, you'll have the access to the TSP. I did a couple of videos just recently on the TSP, and I was watching some others, and I do think there's something to be desired about the actual investment options that are within the TSP, because the TSP is just is fundamentally found fantastic. The fees are on the TSP, you just can't beat them. I mean, it's not going to beat the TSP because they're subsidized. I mean, the taxpayer is subsidizing your fees. Whether that's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. It is. So because you're getting subsidized fees, my heavens, take advantage of that sucker without question. And so today we're going to start with the G fund, which is a typical fund that most people start with, the government bond fund. And remember, the TSP doesn't give you a lot of options. A lot of people say, oh, that's not very good. No, they're wrong. You don't need a lot of options investing. Keep it simple, stupid. You'll do just fine. But let's start with the TSP. And here we go, just TSP.gov. All right, just TSP.gov. And they actually, I do want to show right quick, see if they have this here. They do, yeah, right here, blended retirement, the new BRS. Blended retirement system for the new military options. It's pretty informative. You got to understand that. I did a video on the BRS, as a matter of fact, for you to understand it, because it's changed a lot for you folks in the military. You don't actually have to serve 20 to get a full pension. I mean, you have to get a full pension, but you don't actually have to serve 20 anymore to get some benefits for your service, which is wonderful. All right. So let's go to investment funds. And then we're going to go down to, let's just do fund overview. It'll be interesting to see. And then what we'll do, we'll dive into a little bit more. So we got these five funds, six funds, five, because the life cycle funds is a combination of the others. You got the G fund, the government bond fund. The F fund is a corporate bond fund. The C is a S&P 500 common stock fund. The S is a small cap or extended market index, which is mid and small companies. And the I is international. That's it. That's your five funds. And you have absolutely just a perfectly divided, arranged, diversified portfolio with these five funds. You just can't beat it for sure. The life cycle funds are a combination of various options within the five categories that they have, depending on your risk tolerance. And we'll get in that, but we're not going to do that today. So we're going to start with the G. The G fund assets are managed internally by the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Bond. It buys a non-marketable U.S. Treasury securities that is guaranteed by the U.S. government. That means the G fund will not lose money. And so what does that tell you? Well, it won't lose money, because the only thing investment out there that is absolutely risk-free is the government, U.S. government bonds. Everything else has a risk to them, to include your bank CDs, by the way. The FDIC is a Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, and that can be minimized if they don't have enough money from the banks or a part of the FDIC to pay off their debt. Now, will the federal government step in there? Sure. Are they obligated to? Maybe, maybe not. They don't have to. Right now, there are limits. I think it's $250 per account title. So it's going to be hard for you to go bankrupt with the FDIC. But the FDIC, a bank CD, is not as risk-free as the government bond, because the government bond has explicitly, the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. FDIC does not have the same explicitness. It has by law or by statute, whatever it is, that they'll step in to back up a failing bank. But how do they get paid? They get paid by other banks adding to the kitty, this sort of, insurance company sort of, well, it is literally an insurance company, but there's an assortment of different banks that are funding the FDIC. And what's the PBGC? The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which is, again, if you're an employer providing a pension plan, you pay some premium into this Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which is an insurance company, which backs the pensions that they're going to guarantee. Now, if you know any pilots who have taken a pension, you'll know for a fact that the pensions they were offered and guaranteed, by the way, never came to fruition. If you were getting a $6,000 a month pension and then your pilots or your airline went kaput, like TWA, you're not getting a $6,000 a month pension, even though it's backed by the PBGC. The max you're getting now is like $3,250 or so, I don't know what it is, something like that, $3,250 a month. Whereas you, so literally you're out that extra money, and that's just a fact. Could the same thing happen to CDs? Absolutely. The same thing could happen to CDs without question. If they don't have enough money in the FDIC, the insurance group that they got, to pay off the banks that are going kaput, it absolutely could happen. Now, government bonds, on the other hand, are literally explicitly backed by the full faith and credit. They have to be redeemed, and they have to be redeemed at par value. Now, par value may not be much if inflation really takes off like is doing in Venezuela. But at the end of the day, if you have $100,000 invested in a government bond, you will get $100,000 back at par, at maturity. That is not debatable for sure. Now, the question that comes in is, okay, but what kind of interest are we going to get? And so I look at my trusty calculator here, or my trusty Apple app on the investments, and we'll see TNX. And if you can see that down there, which is this guy right there, it says 2.86. That right now is the current yield on a 10-year treasury bond. All right, so 2.86. If you bought a 10-year bond today, you'll get 2.86 as your yield. That means you'll get every $100,000 investment, you'll get $2,860 a year. No more, no less. That's a fact. If you hold that sucker to maturity, you get $2,860 a year in interest, and you'll get your $100,000 back in 10 years. So you got to understand how that works first and foremost, because the G fund is investing in bonds just like this. Their average maturity probably, I don't know, 8-9 years maybe. I don't know. But given the fact that they're going to buy some short term, some midterm, and some long term bonds, I usually look at a 7 to 10 year as typical of a government bond contract, which is what the G fund is. So basically right now, if you buy a government bond, you'll know to basically a 90 to 95% probability what your rate of return will be over the next 10 years. All right, that's just a fact. Because if I buy a 10-year bond today and it's guaranteed to pay me 2.86, I'm not getting any more and I'm not getting any less from now into 10 years. Now, people say all the time, but Josh, if interest rates go up, you'll lose principal. Yeah, and I'll gain that principal back if I hold the bond to maturity. I won't gain more, I won't gain less. If a $100,000 bond drops to $95,000 today because interest rates go up, it affects me not at all, because I still will get $100,000 back at maturity, and I'll still get my 2.86% back in 10 years. And if other people say, but if interest rates go down, you'll make money. Nope. Because a $100,000 bond, if rates go down, I'll get $105,000. That's my value is today. I'm still getting 2.86% as my yield, and I will still get $100,000 at maturity. But what if you sell the $100,000 bond, which is worth $105,000 today? You could do some of that extra $5,000. Yeah. If I'm buying another bond, I will buy something as yielding less than 2.86. And I don't know what the equivalent would be on that, but there's an algorithm that's easy. You can actually, you probably even take over here. I could figure it out in like 2 seconds flat if I wanted to, my trusty Texas Instrument calculator there. So basically, if my $100,000 bond, if the interest rates dropped and my value of the $100,000 went to $105,000, that same $105,000 would not buy me a 2.86% yield bond. It would buy me, I don't know, like 2.75, whatever it is, because it's all going to flush in the long run. The markets aren't stupid. They know exactly to the penny what the yield's got to be relative to the price. And so because government bonds aren't going bankrupt, and because you cannot, if you're going to buy government bonds, there's nothing you can do in terms of yield to get a higher yield
or maximizing return unless you take heavy, heavy leverage, and don't do that. We know, with a 90 to 95% assurance that what your rate of return is going to be over the next 10 years. Now, watch this. It's pretty interesting. So we're going to go to GFund. Oops. We're going to go to investment. Oh, actually, let's just look at expense ratio. I'm thinking about this because this is something I'll probably overlook. Yeah, look at this. I mean, you're talking 3.3. The average fund expense ratio of the TSP is 3.3 basis points. That means it costs 33 cents per $1,000 invested. My friends, you're not going to beat that. Schwab's got an ETF program now where they're charging pretty low on their ETFs. The TSP is just leading the way. Now, again, that's because it's subsidized. I mean, no getting around that. Taxpayer subsidizing. But the average net expense ratio of 3.3 basis points, that's 33 cents per thousand per year. So you think about it. A 0.3% basis points is $3.30 per thousand per year. All right. A 1% basis point is 100 basis points. That's 1%. It's $10 per thousand per year. So if I got my calculator here, but if we had $10, we divide that by 0.33, it's costing 30 times more for a 1% fund than it does for my TSP, which means that 1% fund manager, is he worth 30 times better in his skill or her skill set than the TSP, which is as plain Jane, plain vanilla as you can possibly get? No. I mean, are there a few? Sure. Should you try to find those people in advance? No, it's not worth your time, because the fees that you're paying, never mind the tax consequence and all that stuff potentially, are not going to give you the rates of return that a TSP can, because the fees are so low. You can't beat this, my friends. And so when I hear people, the TSP isn't that good because it doesn't have all that many investment options, I don't care. You're getting 3.3 basis points, 33 cents per thousand, versus a typical Vanguard fund's 30 basis points. That's $3 per thousand. A typical mutual fund's is over 100 basis points. That's $10 per thousand. All right, so I just want to show you that. That's just phenomenal. That's why I've always been a huge fan of the TSP. All right, so let's go to fund performance. We'll go to fund performance. Again, this is tsp.gov, and we're going to go to annual returns. And they'll show you. They get all these things, the L funds, and we're not going to talk about the Ls right now. We'll talk about those later. Right now, I just want to focus on the G. And so let's go to annual returns, all right, because this is what's interesting to me. And we want to go to individual funds chart. All right, so here's a G. This is a F. This is a fixed income. We're just looking at the G right now. And we go back to 1987. And what I think happens a lot with bond investors, they say, oh, my bond has averaged, USAA had a bond fund since 1974 that was averaging like 8.82% a year going back to inception. So people bought that sucker thinking that's the rate of return they could expect to get going forward. And I'd always tell them, and a lot of them didn't believe me, actually. I said, you're not going to get 8.82 in a bond fund going forward. And the reason being is because we know for a fact what the interest rates are today. And the interest rates are today aren't 8.82. They're about 3 to 3.5. And that's before taxes. Maybe even 4% if you throw some higher yielding bonds. Higher yielding synonymous with less credit quality. But people say, but look what it did back here in 1988, 1999, 1990, it was at 9%. I said, yeah. What do you think this is based on? All right, so let's just look at 1990. What is that return based on? And again, this is going to be a conglomerate of all the various bonds out there, government bonds. I think the average probably is about 7, again, to 10-year average maturities. So we'll just say 10 for simplicity. Well, this is going to be on the average from 1990 and 91 on what the bonds were from 1982, 1983, and whatnot. And so what we do is we go to our Department of Treasury, a daily Treasury yield curve at treasury.gov, and we can see what the yields were back. It only goes 19. Let's see if it goes back to 1980s. Let's see. It does go back to 1990s. Let's see what we got. If we can go back, it doesn't go back. All right. It doesn't go back to 1990s. I'm sure it's on here someplace, but let's just go back to 1990. And we'll see, okay, what was the bonds doing in 1990? 10-year treasury, and we'll see, and I love this website, on January 1990, the 10-year treasury was paying 7.94, 30-year was paying 8, all right? So some people locked up their money for 30 years, they got 8%. Some people locked up their money for 10, they got 7.94. If you locked up your money for 30 years in 1990 and got 8%, you're a happy camper, because that means you still got another 10 years left before that sucker matures. Or no, I guess I won't, that's maturing. That's maturing in 2 years. Ooh. So you get 8% a year on this puppy for 1990 through 2000, 2010, and 2010 to 2020, 8% a year. Now, if you bought this 10-year treasury bond, you get 7.94, but only for 10 years. So let's see what happened in 2000, from 1990 to 2000. So after 10 years, remember, your 30-year bond was still paying 8%. What was your 10-year bond paying? Now it's only paying 6.58. So your 10-year bond that was paying 7.94 matured is only paying 6.58, but your 30-year bond that you bought in 1990 is still paying 8%. Now, new 30-year bonds only paying 6.61. But so what happened was you gave up almost one and a half percentage point of yield by not buying that 30-year bond, by buying the 10-year instead, because the interest rates went against you. I hope that makes sense. So let's just go back. I want to show this again. So 1990, you had the option. You could buy a 10-year bond or you could buy a 30-year bond. Just use those two for an example. Or what some people do is they say, oh, man, I'm buying short-term stuff because I think rates are going to go through the roof. Because they remember the last part of Jimmy Carter, the first part of Reagan. They're like, I think rates are going to go back up. So I'm going to buy some short-term bonds so I can reinvest the money in a higher yield later on. And they got taken to the bank. So if I bought a 30-year bond at 8%, I'm getting 30 or 8% a year, 100% guaranteed by the feds. For the next 30 years, I'm not getting any more. I'm not getting any less. In fact, when this guy matures in 2020, I guess it'll be the end of 2019, I guarantee you the interest, the yield that this guy got, the rate of return, I should say, is 8%. It's not going to be any more. It's not going to be any less. Now, what happened was you said, oh man, I don't know. That's a long time to lock up my money for 8% because, you know, we're going through the Iraq war, right? This guy named Clinton's coming on the scene, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm going to only lock up my money for 7.94%. And I'll get that for 10 years. And you're thinking that's still not too shabby. So then we go to 2000 when your bond matured. Now, remember, I'm still getting 8% because I locked up my money. I was pretty comfortable with an 8% rate of return. Your bond matured, and now you have to reinvest it in something. You can reinvest it in another 10 years at 6.58, or you can reinvest it in 30 years at 6.61. But again, you're like, yeah, I don't want to reinvest it in a 30-year bond. I'm going to reinvest it for another 10 years at 6.58. So now we go to 2010, and let's see what you're doing now. Remember, I'm still getting 8%, right? I'm getting 8% because I locked up my money for 30 years. I mean, so I'm getting 8% a year, each and every year for that bond. Now, when you reinvested in 2010, you're only getting 3.85. What am I getting? Am I getting this? No, I'm getting the 8% because I locked up my money for 30 years. So you've gone consistently from 7.94 to 6.58 to 3.85. And again, this would be synonymous, probably right between these two guys with what the G fund is doing. They're going to give you some yield between these two. And so now what we can do is we can look back and let's just say 7-year bonds paying 3.36 in 2010. We can look back and see what the TSP annual returns are in 2017. Look at that.
That's 2.75, I'm thinking. No, that'd be 2.25, 4 plus 0.5 plus 2.25. Yeah. All right. So it's 2.25 right here. And let's see. So that guy, that's 2.25, and that's paying, that's about 3% right there. All right. And so you're getting 3% right now. That's what you got over the last 10 years, which ironically corresponds almost identically to what the 7-year bond was paying in 2010. So yeah, but a 7-year 2010 is paying 3.36. And again, I don't have a ruler or anything. I'm presuming that's about 3% or so. It might even be 3.25, but almost to the T. So your bond just matured. A 7-year bond just matured. You got 3.25% or whatever it is, just like I said. So this is where the G fund will always give you a guaranteed rate of return, but the guaranteed rate of return has been dropping like a brick in water as the yields go down. So let me ask you a question. Just going back to interest rate scenario. We'll go back to 2000 and 2000. All right. So remember, your 10-year bond matured. You're getting 7.94. Your 10-year bond matured. Mine was still kicking in at 100,000 at 8%. All right. So now new bonds are yielding 6.61. So if someone had $100,000 and they were investing in a 6.61% yield, what would be worth more to them, the 8% yield, that I have or a 6.61% yield that the new bonds are paying? Well, of course, the 8% would be more because he's going to get literally 8% on a $100,000 bond. He's getting $8,000 a year for a $100,000 bond. This guy's only getting $6,600. So I would sell my bond for above par, which means I'd sell it for more than $100,000. That is the guarantee, well, not the guarantee, how the interest rate cycles work. If you have two comparative bonds, actually probably you want to compare it to a 20-year because I have 20 years left to mature. So a 20-year bond, 6.94 at par at 100,000. My bond is 20-year left is 8%. My bond is worth more because I'm literally getting $8,000 each year for the next 20. This guy's getting $6,940 each year for the next 20. Mine's more valuable. It's just all there is to it. So for someone to pay me for my bond, I am going to charge a premium. It's not going to be $100,000. It's going to be $110,000 out of whatever it is. There's a way you can calculate it, and it's easy. I just haven't done it for this. So that's how this works. So with the G fund, is going back here. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. Let's go right here to real quick. I want to go to what they're paying right now, 2018. And so I hope that I was able to show you how yields work on bonds and what that means for you and your rate of return going forward with the G fund. All right. So right now we're going to 716. So we got a 3-year, this is a 10-year right here. It was a 10-year 2.85 that I just showed you. That's a 30-year 2.96. So you're locking up your money today in the G fund, and you're going to get probably, like I said, probably closer to 2.82, but I don't know. Let's just say roughly 3% for simplicity. There's no way you're getting more than that. There is none. Not today. Now, if rates start going up, all right, now everyone thinks, well, rates go up, I can make more. Well, what happens to the bond that you have right here that goes down in price? All right, so that's why we know with a 90 to 95% certainty what your rate of return is going to be when you buy a government bond, because we know you're not going bankrupt because it'll always pay. And we know for a fact that you're going to get a certain amount of interest each and every year. So we know these two things factually. It's not going bankrupt, and you're going to get 2.85%. Right here, 2.85. Those two things are factual. Now, 5 years from now, you decide to sell it. We don't know what your rate of return is going to be because you have a 10-year bond. Your rate of return will be somewhere around 2.85, maybe a little bit higher if the interest rates have dropped and you can actually sell it for a higher price. Maybe a little bit lower if interest rates have gone up and you got to sell it for a discount. It's not going to be much more because you only have a 10-year bond, essentially. In 5 years, that bond will still be five more years closer to maturity. I know there's a lot going on, but do not get caught up and this right here, oh, well, bonds average 8% a year going back to 1974. It's completely irrelevant, my friends. It means not a thing. All that matters is what am I getting now? And what I'm getting now in the 10-year treasury is 2.85. That's it. That's what I will get in this bond, 2.85. So the G fund, just to wrap this up, it'll give you a guarantee, but it's not going to give you a guaranteed much. It has nothing to do with previous, on any bond fund, has nothing to do with previous performance. That means nothing. I could care less what your bond fund did in 1974. I could care less what your bond fund did in September 11th, 2001. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters, especially for a government bond, but even on that fixed income bond too, the corporate bond, I'll get into that next time, is what it's doing today, what the yields are today. I can put my hat on that, say, at the end of the day, honey, I know I'm going to put my $100,000 in this bond fund. I'm going to get 2.85. If that's good enough for you, more power to you, no risk. You don't have to worry about it. That's not good enough for you. Well, stay tuned for another episode. We'll talk about the other investment options that are within the TSP. So I hope that helps with the G fund. I like the G fund. Don't get me wrong, but you're not going to get returns like this. You're just not. You're going to get the returns on the lower end of 3%, maybe the higher, you know, right around 3% for the next 10 years. All right, my friends, hope this helps. As always, appreciate you being here today. If you like the stuff we talk about, then hit the subscribe button right there. Please hit subscribe, hit the bell to be notified of future content. Love to hear your thoughts and comments. Just put them down below. Thumbs up always help. And of course, share the video with folks. That way they can see this as well. If you have some other friends at the government, military, and they need to get a little bit of a tutorial on TSP, man, just share the video. Have them contact or go to the blog at heritagewealthplanning.com. See you next time. Thanks, guys.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.